Good evening. Thank you for coming out tonight again. Thank you so much. Now, Rami asked me to sing these songs, and I think a few of you guys might know them, so please feel free to sing along and worship with me. Thank you. As a deer, and I will bow down before your glory. As the deer panteth for the living water, so my soul, O Lord, thirsts for you.
Good evening. How are you doing? Good. This is the last evening, the last session, and I trust that God will bless all of us, not only you, but me as well, as he does usually when I preach, teach. Actually, I do it first for myself, so I encourage myself. So, let's see what we did in the last two evenings, okay? Just a short summary to get us back into track. So, summary of previous sessions. First of all, we learned that, and we established actually, the first century body and today's bodies, body of Messiah, of course, are very different, at least in their expression of faith, right? I mean, all of you know all about it, right? The main reasons, different mindset, and we are going to deal with the different mindset or with the Hebraic mindset as we go on this evening, as we deal with prophecies, end time prophecies, and of which leads to be wrong interpretation of scriptures. And we spoke about new covenant versus old covenant, abolishing, fulfilling, etc., etc. Okay, no need to repeat it. And we spoke about the urgent need that we have to reconnect to our roots, right? And we spoke, of course, about the olive tree, or Israel of God, which is actually the two houses of Israel. You remember we talked about it, yeah? The two which become one, which include within them the mixed multitude Gentiles. Remember? We spoke about it yesterday. Who is Israel, yeah? So, Romans 11, my friends, the key to understand our connection to present time Israel. And let's speak about few points in Romans 11. By the way, I have a lot of material to cover tonight, so hang on with me, okay? Some of it will be directly screened here and some of it will not be. So some of it will be directly from the Bible, so hang on. So Romans 11, if you read actually Romans 9, 10, 11, depicts actually, displays God's plan of salvation as it relates to the Gentiles, the Gentile world, yeah, and Israel. So, number one, in verse 7 of Romans 11, God has not cast his people away. Okay, I think we established it already in the two last evenings, okay? Throughout the generations, there has always been the Israel of God, as Paul calls it. If you read Romans 9, 10, 11, Paul says something very strange. Not all Israel are Israel. And we spoke about it, about the remnant which always operates within the framework called Israel. Remember, we talked about it more than once in those two evenings, previous evenings. A remnant according to grace or election, as Paul puts it. Israel of God, or again, the two who became one in Yeshua, never replaced the other, natural Israel, or the non-believing Israel. Are you following? Never replaced. She always, Israel of God, she always functioned, operated within her, so she could, what? Can somebody guess? Provoke her or them, Israel in the flesh, to jealousy. Beloved, this is one of our main callings as body of Yeshua, as Israel of God. And now I don't need to repeat again and again that you are not the Gentile church and I belong to the Jewish church. Forget about it. We are one body, Israel of God, the olive tree, the commonwealth of Israel, etc., etc. Okay? So, what is our main job? To provoke, especially the people of God, who are called now Jews, yeah? To jealousy. They need to see in us the truth. Do they see it? Okay? Let's continue. How would she do it? Who is she? Us. Israel of God. How can we do it, friends? How can we provoke Israel to jealousy? Okay, the other Israel, so to speak. Israel in the flesh, natural Israel. Number one, act in accordance with her true identity. And you know already, after being with me yesterday, who you are, don't you? Are you separated from Israel? No, okay? So you know who you are. So sincerely, we need to ask God to show us what are the ungodly, unbiblical clothes. And again, I'm politically correct here, or I'm polite in the wordings that I use. Clothes that we should take off ourselves, okay? Without doing it, friends, we cannot fool the Jews. The Jews are not stupid. The Jews never accepted a Messiah who will change the ordinance of God. Ordinances of God. The Jews never expected a Messiah who will come and change the Sabbath and the feasts. Who will come and abolish the Torah. You know why they never expected? Because they read their Torah. They read the prophecies. Okay. After all, isn't she, to provoke them to jealousy? We just spoke about it. Love, support, and bless her brothers in the flesh. Yeah, the other Israel, I call it natural Israel. My brethren, your brethren, yeah, the Jews. We must do as we are commanded in Genesis 12. The one who blesses you shall be blessed, the one who curses you, right? You remember, yeah? And in other place, also Paul speaks about, we must love, we must support, we must bless them. We must gain their trust again. You cannot go to a Jew and say to him, Jesus loves you. Oh, really? So why keeps killing us? In the concentration camps, gas chambers, in the Inquisition, in Spain, in Portugal, in England, in the Crusaders. Everybody used his name to kill us. Gain their trust. Stop talking to them in Yiddish or Christianese. It's not Chinese. You know, God loves you. Yeshua is the Son of the living God. Say the sinner prayer. Follow me and you will be saved. Blah, blah, blah. This will not buy the Jewish trust. They don't trust us. Because they don't differentiate between born-again Christian and just a Christian. By the way, just to a little shock you, there is no such a thing born-again Christian in the Bible. Decide, or you are a Christian, Christ-like, or you are not. You cannot be Christ-like and then be born again to be Christ-like. You cannot be sprinkled with water as in the, you know, however old you are, age you are, yeah? No. You need to make a decision. You need to be born again. Me too. Aren't we? Did we inherit our position before God from our parents? We need to gain the Jewish trust. Especially in the times shortly to come. And here we get to it. Are you ready? What are the times shortly to come? In order to understand them, we need to go back to the Hebrew mindset. You remember the Hebrew mindset? Let's remind ourselves. That which has been is what will be. Right? We spoke about it. That which is done is what will be done. There is nothing, absolutely nothing new under the sun, which means all of the end time events which we are expecting, which are actually unfolding in front of our very eyes, guess what? They happened already in the past. Twice. We are actually, in my humble opinion, there is repetition, three times repetition. We are, in my humble opinion, when I say my humble opinion, know that I'm not speaking now in the name of God. Okay? This is my opinion. Buy it or leave it, yeah? All that I say here, you buy or leave, yeah? Beloved, but I pray that you will check what I say, okay? In my humble opinion, the third time is just in front, the third and optimal fulfillment of scriptures is at the door. So nothing is new under the sun, and this is a reference, of course. And the beginning and the end are strongly connected. Remember, we spoke about it yesterday. I think yesterday and also the other day. Let's continue. Prophecies are being fulfilled more than once, mainly three times. This is my opinion. That's why I put question mark. And in a progressive manner. Did I explain what I mean, progressive manner here? For the new ones here. Beloved, let's take Zechariah 14, and we are going to deal with it very soon. Zechariah 14, a typical end-time prophecy, which is, by the way, repeated. The parallel of Zechariah 14 is Matthew 24. Okay, Mount of Olivet Discourse, as they call it, the scholars, the academic people, theologians. Beloved, let's take Zechariah 14. There are many details, okay, to be fulfilled according to Zechariah. The nations will besiege Jerusalem, etc., etc., okay? My friends, in the first fulfillment, which was when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, did what Zechariah said, yeah? Beloved, let's say that there were 20 details to be fulfilled, okay? 10 of them were fulfilled the first time. When Rome besieged Jerusalem and destroyed it, they added another 5 or 6 details. You see what I mean? But not the 5 alone. They fulfilled the 10 and added 4 more or 5 more. In the optimal fulfillment, all the 20 will be fulfilled again. Do you see what I mean? Another example, the Exodus out of Egypt. Actually, if you wish, the rapture. Woo! The church loves to talk about the rapture, pre-tribulation rapture, mid-trib, end-trib, whatever, three quarters. Yeah. My beloved, rapture is simply to be taken out, to be separated from something. That's all. To be gathered to something, from something to something else, okay? To cross over, if you wish. Did you know that there actually have been two raptures and we are looking for the third, an optimal one? The very first rapture took place. Who we are, beloved? Who are we? Hallelujah. So we need to think, when we speak about rapture, we need to speak, wait. It must have happened before because it speaks about future and there is nothing new under the sun. Remember? So simple. So simple. Because there is nothing new under the sun and it's cyclical. When you hear about rapture or whatever Paul speaks about regarding the end time or revelation, you really need to ask, where did I read about it before? Are you with me? So where was the first rapture of Israel being taken away from something to another? Egypt, Exodus, in Passover. Yet there was another rapture. Each and every one of you experienced it. And it doesn't have to do with the left behind series. All of you experienced, otherwise you are not born again. Spiritually, you were raptured from this world when you said your sinner prayer, when you received Yeshua into your life. Am I not right? I mean, the gospel tells us that he took us from the kingdom of took, past tense, redeemed us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light of his beloved son. Yes or no? We are raptured already. We are anticipating the third and optimal rapture where both our bodies and spirits, spiritual men, will be taken to meet him in the air. You see what I mean? Now, if the two first raptures happened and had connection, strong connection with Passover, the Feast of Passover, what makes you think that the third rapture will take place in Tabernacles? You see what I mean? It's patterned. It's cyclical. The next rapture will have to do with Passover again. Because God does not change. He gives us those hints, the cyclical mindset, so we know what to expect. Because nothing is new under the sun. Okay, this is about the refulfillment of scriptures, of prophecies. Examples, okay. Jerusalem besieged and conquered, we talked about it. The abomination that causes desolation. Shall we speak a little about this? You know that when Yeshua spoke about the abomination that causes desolation, are you still awake? You have a lot of time still. No stretching out today. No, I will let you if you want. But not now, of course. The abomination that causes desolation, you know that when Yeshua spoke about it, of course, he quoted Daniel, right? Daniel 9. With the 70 weeks, right? Beloved, you know that 160-something years, 167 about years before Yeshua, it was already fulfilled. Antiochus Epiphanes put a pig and statue in the temple. That's why the Jews rebelled against him. If you know the history, if not, it's okay, don't worry. It's not too important. But the Maccabean revolt, which ended with the rededication of the defiled temple. Defiled by whom? Defiled by Antiochus Epiphanes, okay? Or Antiochus the Fourth, who saw himself as deity, as God. Beloved, first fulfillment. It was again fulfilled shortly after Yeshua, in the year 70, when Titus' forces did not only desecrate it, but they just did away with the temple. Are you with me? It is going to take place yet again in the future. Nothing is new under the sun. Are you with me? Hallelujah, let's continue. The rapture, okay, we spoke about it. Let's continue. The world today, few facts. Wars and rumors of wars. Sounds familiar? Matthew 24, of course, yeah? Many earthquakes and famines. You have the reference. The world seems to behave, act like in Noah's time. Right? Are you agreeing? Israel is in the very center of all end time events. Beloved, you want to know where you are on God's timetable? Look not at Rome like most of the church does in her mindset. Please understand me. Okay? But back to your roots. Back to where the main olive tree grows. Remember? Israel. Because Israel is in the very center. Some just can't see it, right? Both the nation and the land of Israel are God's prophetic clock, beloved. Those are the references, if you don't believe me. Zechariah 14 and Acts 1:6 are strongly connected, so let's go back to to Acts chapter 1, verse 6. We dealt with it before. This is the 40th day, as I explained it before, 40th day, that the risen Messiah is with them and is just about to be taken, ascend to the heaven by cloud. Yeah. And look at this, verse 6 again. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Remember, it's the kingdom to Israel. Kingdom cannot be without Israel, without a king, without the land of Israel and the nation of Israel. We spoke about it, right? Are we close to the end? This situation was not at hand, those conditions, a land and a nation. The legitimate nation in the land was not here, this condition, till 1948. 1948 was the marking point. And I believe the end time snowball started to roll. And it speeded quite in a dramatic way in the 1967 war, if you ask me, when Jerusalem and the so-called West Bank territories, or the very heart of biblical Israel, was redeemed by the Jewish forces. Ooh, it got really, really more speedy, okay? So, beloved, verse 7, and he said to them, it is not for you to know times and seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall, etc., etc., etc. Now, in verse 9, when he had spoken those things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight, and while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, and I live in Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Yeshua, who was taken up from you into heaven, listen carefully, please, do not miss it, will so come in like manner as you saw him go up into heaven. Open Zechariah 12, okay? Look at verse 8. By the way, Zechariah 12 through 14, not verses, chapter 12, 13, 14, check me, talks about Matthew 24 and Thessalonians and the others and Revelation. Verse 8 of Zechariah 12. In that day the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The one who is feeble among them in that day shall be like David, and the house of David, those are encouraging words, shall be like God, like the angel of the Lord before him. It shall be that in that day that I will seek to destroy all the what? Nations that came against Jerusalem. And I will pour on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they have pierced. Do I need to interpret it for you? But how? How are they going to look at whom they have